Welcome to the Subscribe to Change recording of the free call on the Know Nothing State, teaching you how to stay in this state throughout the coaching conversation.
Hi, everyone. Good morning or evening, depending on where you are. It's great to have you on the call today. My name is Femke Stoet, and today we're going to be talking about the Know Nothing state in coaching. And so before that, for those of you who have not been on a call with me before, you're muted. All of you are muted. And if you would like to ask a question, there's going to be time for questions. If you would like to ask a question, you can press 1 on your keypad. And so if you're using Skype, you can use the keypad in Skype. You can press 1, and that lets me know that you're putting your hand up. Also, I just sent out about an hour ago, I sent out the link to the screen share. So if you want to follow in the presentation, you need to go to that link and click on it, and that'll get you to the screen share so that you can join in on the presentation as well. So before we get started, I will share with you a little bit about who I am for those of you who don't know me. So my name, like I said, is Femke Stoet. I am from the Netherlands, and I am a neurosemantics trainer. I am a PCMC certified meta coach, and I have been doing neurosemantics for the past 7 years. And so my background actually is in accounting and finance. That's what I started out with, and did my bachelor's degree in that. Then I did international business. And my first day of work, I knew, okay, this isn't it. This is not what I want. So that kind of started an early crisis for me. But at the same time, I was very lucky that the company that I started out with was a management development company, and I had a coach. And so this coach really helped me find my purpose and to also break it down into small steps so that it didn't feel overwhelming and it felt like I could achieve my outcome. And so very early on, I knew, okay, coaching and training, that's what I want to do. And so that's when a long journey of training started, and started out with NLP, did a lot of I was a resourcer many times because I really, really loved the material, and I really wanted to own the material and have it be part of my coaching. And so after that, after I did NLP, I still thought, okay, so now I know how to run a pattern on someone, and I know that NLP is about modeling and getting the best out of people, but I still don't know how change works. And I started searching the internet on coaching and NLP, and ultimately I found neurosemantics, and that really changed my whole outlook on coaching, and it made it feel really solid. And so over the past few years, I've been on the meta coach track, or meta coach trainer track. And so this January is the first time that I'm going to train the meta coach training in Norway, and so that's really exciting to do that. And I'll also actually be in New Zealand in November this month. So for those of you who are either going to be in New Zealand or in Oslo in January, going to be your trainer. What you see in the picture, if you're on the screen share, that's my dog Lila. She's about 1 year old, and she's with my boyfriend in the United States. Right now I'm in the Netherlands, so I've been going back and forth. And hopefully next year I'll be able to stay in the States permanently. So she's very rambunctious girl, and I miss her very much. So that's a little bit about me. But today is not about me. Today is about the know-nothing state. Okay, so, and I see that someone has put their hand up, so let me stop for a moment. Okay, so Chris, I see that you put your hand up.
Can you hear me?
Hi, yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see the you said we could see on the screen, so I was and I looked for an email. I didn't get that email that's where I can have a link to get to see what you're seeing.
Okay. Can you send me an email quickly, and then I'll be able to send you the link, because then I
okay.
have your email address. So if anyone else has doesn't have the link, then please just quickly send me an email, and I will send you an email back with the link. All right, thanks, Chris, for letting me know. Okay, so like I said, today is not about me. Today is about this know-nothing state. And what we're going to be doing today is diving a bit deeper into, okay, what is the know-nothing state? What are the elements of it? And why would you want a know-nothing state in the first place? And then we're going to kind of start building this know-nothing state. After we've built it, obviously there's going to be these triggers that will get you out of this state. And so that's what, at the end, we're going to spend some time coaching each other to start clearing some of the things, some of the triggers, and transforming those triggers that normally get us out of this know-nothing state. Okay, so first of all, there's this question of why do we want to be in a know-nothing state? Well, I found this picture, and it says, if an egg is broken by an outside force, life ends. If an egg is broken by an inside force, then life begins. Great things happen from the inside. And I think that really sums everything up. That's what in coaching we do, is we don't try and break the egg from the outside, but we help someone, we facilitate that someone can break their own egg from the inside so that great things can happen. That's what we want to do. And so that means that we are going to hold the space. It means that we are going to be listening. We're going to be really present. We need to listen for patterns, because that's what coaching is all about. It is about modeling what someone does. So essentially, you want to know three things. You want to know what a person does, how the person does it, and then why that person does it. And so all of that has nothing to do with you. But when we have a conversation, a lot of the time we're so used to making judgments, to getting involved in the content, thinking that we know what the other person needs, things like that. All of those things mean that we're trying to break the egg from the outside and not the inside. And so that's why we want to be in a know-nothing state. We want to be able to model, okay, how are you doing things right now? How is that not working? And how would it be working in the way that you would want? And then we can break that egg from the inside. Then we can figure out, okay, what is the leverage point? What is going to break that egg so that you can achieve the outcome that you want? So the know-nothing state, that's why we want that, because it allows us to find patterns, to find the leverage point for change, and to really understand, okay, how are you doing this? Please tell me, how are you doing this? How are you keeping this in place? But the know-nothing state, essentially, is kind of how do you say that in English? It's a deceiving name, really, because we're never going to know nothing. It's not like in this state we know nothing, because what we still know is structure. And that's basically everything that we know in this state is structure. So to share an example with you of the know-nothing state, and it's actually a situation where I wasn't aware that I was in a know-nothing state, but the audience afterwards let me know that I was in a know-nothing state. So last year in Oslo, we did the ACMC training, and I was coaching in front of the group, and so I chose someone from the audience, and she started telling me about her content, and the content was pretty, well, you could say it was controversial. I didn't see it as controversial, but it was intense and out of the ordinary, and so I was just listening to this lady, and all I did was listen for structure, because everything that is important for me in that moment is, how are you doing this? For me, it's not important what I think of it, and it's also not up to me to find the answers, because I know that she already has the answer. And so I stuck with this, and basically we just figured out, okay, this is the outcome, this is the problem state, this is the difference, and we found that leverage point for change. She wanted to make a decision about something, and ultimately she had her decision. And so that's all I did. All I did was listen to the gap and figure out what is going to be the leverage point that is going to get her outcome. Well, afterwards, several people came up to me and said, well, I can't believe you were able to listen to that and to not get lost in content, because it was so interesting and so intense and wow. And I realized afterwards that people very quickly jumped into their own judgments about it. And it wasn't necessarily that those were quote-unquote bad judgments, but they were judgments based on their own model of the world and not of the model of the world of the client. And so I was surprised by that, which let me know that I was in the know-nothing state. And that know-nothing state allowed me to achieve PCMC level. And so I was really curious, okay, what is this know-nothing state? Because if you check in online and in NLP, so John Grinder is really one of the ones who has done a lot of, he's got videos online about the know-nothing state, and there's some something written about the know-nothing state. And so a lot of the time, and the way that I learned it, is that you need a peripheral vision. So basically, you kind of like not focus on one thing, but you see everything. So you see basically everything around you, and that gets you a very long way into this state. But for me, there's more things to it. There's it's not just having a peripheral vision that means that you're in the know-nothing state. So what I would like to do today is to go over, okay, what are the elements that I found in the know-nothing state? And then we're going to do, we're all at the same time going to access it, because ultimately it's a state, and each and every one of us knows how to get into a state. We know how to shift states. And this is not just a primary state, it's a meta state. And so we're going to meta state a few states together into one, from which we get the gestalt, the know-nothing state. So that's what we're going to be doing first. And in order to be able to do that, we need to know the elements of that. So after that, we will spend some time doing questions after we've all got into the state. And what I'd like you to be aware of is, if there's any of the components that you might have trouble with. So, and it's not if you don't have trouble with it, that's perfect. If you do have some trouble with it, that's just information. So that you know, okay, this is what I need to stretch. Because what I want you to take away from today is, okay, what are some of the things that I can work on in terms of stretching myself, in terms of taking myself to the next level, so that you can hold the know-nothing state no matter what. It doesn't matter what kind of content your client brings. It doesn't matter if you don't know where you're at anymore and you get lost. None of that matters, and you are always able to stay in the know-nothing state. That's my goal for you, that you have like some sort of plan or some sort of, okay, this is what I can do. Because this is not something that happens over time. There are certain things, that skills that you need to develop and things that you need to stretch in order to really hold a steady know-nothing state. So that's what we're going to be going over today. Okay, so let's take it to the elements. So I've identified five elements that make up the know-nothing state. And I'm not saying that this is it or all-encompassing. There might be more. But these are the ones for me that make the difference. So we start out with the peripheral vision. When I'm coaching, I always have a peripheral vision. So what that means is that I'm not focusing in on my client or just their face, but I basically see everything, and I also see my surroundings. So that's something that we're going to be doing in a moment, is, okay, how do you create that peripheral vision? So we're going to create that state so that you have a sense of, okay, this is what it feels like to have that. The second aspect of the know-nothing state is a state of witnessing. So essentially, most of the time, I'm in third person. I'm not in first person, where I make my own judgments based on my own model of the world, but I'm in third person, which is a state of witnessing. And basically, this is a state of objectivity. I'm just seeing what I'm seeing, I'm hearing what I'm hearing, and I'm just taking that in as information. But obviously, and this is where you know, the whole idea of like, okay, it's not knowing nothing. It's, we actually know something. I hold a structure in mind. And so what I have done, and for those of you who have been on Subscribed to Change or who have called in on these free calls before, in my mind, I hold a structure of a combination of the SCORE model, the well-formed outcome conversation, and the axis of change. So I have a visual template of that. So that I can, and it's completely empty. And what I've noticed is that I actually have that in my, in the area, in my visual area where I create things. So for me, things that I already know, they go directly to my kinesthetics. So it was interesting to discover that if I get information in, and I'm in this state of mind, and of holding the structure, of focusing on this structure, I'm creating. And so I'm in a place where I don't really know anything. I'm just starting to build. And it's kind of like, okay, I have all these Lego blocks, but someone else is telling me how to put them together because I don't know. So I hold the structure in my mind, and so I have all of the models visually in a template, but someone else needs to start telling me what I need to see. It's kind of like being a sketch artist. You know, if a crime has happened and the victim has to tell the sketch artist, okay, what is this, what does it look like? What is the person? What is the criminal look like? And so what does the mouth look like? Is it really wide or not wide at all? How thin is it? Does he have thick eyebrows or thin? Is there a beard or not? So I have that in my visual create. And at some point I thought, okay, how does it work if I'm actually judging or advice giving, or and the information then goes straight to my kinesthetic area. So it's like, and which is like to my lower right. And so that's where I store information. Okay, I understand that, I know that, I don't have to question it. And so what I would like to suggest for you is also to discover, okay, where do I create things visually and auditorily? So I also use my auditory as well, not just my visual, but also my auditory, but it's in the area of creation. The next step then is that I just have a really strong sense of this is not mine. I don't even question it. It's just not mine. And so we're also going to discover the difference between mine and not mine, so that everything that I see, and being in the third person already helps, but this adds to it. It's not mine. And lastly, there's the component of sorting for difference. So if you have read a little while ago, Michael sent out an email on the know-nothing state, and he really specifically identified this as sorting for difference, which is different from judging. So what you're doing in sorting for difference, which is essentially mismatching, is that you're looking and listening for incongruencies. You are detecting patterns, and so you're also sorting for, okay, someone may be saying yes, and their head goes from side to side. So there's a difference there. You want to check that. There's also a difference between present state and desired state. So sorting for that difference will allow you to find the difference that makes the difference, because that essentially is what we do as coaches. So these are the five steps that, or the five states, components, if you will, that I've identified that I do that keep me in that state and that keep me detached from content. One of the things that I want to address here as well is that, especially with holding the structure in mind, that is, you need to fill the structure. So in order to be able to, have that know-nothing state without getting lost and without feeling, feeling overwhelmed, you need to have some sort of structure. You know, that's not going to just be created overnight. It took me a long time to really integrate all of the models in such a way that that it's just there. And so I don't have them as separate models. I have it visualized, but everything is locked in with each other. So there's not a different picture for the axis of change. There's not a different picture for the well-formed outcome. Everything is integrated. And so for holding structure in mind, you have to have a structure. And that also means that you need to know, and that also plays into sorting for difference, that you need to have it informed with, okay, what differences can you sort for? So in the Accessing Personal Genius training, you know how to, you've learned how to listen for feeling powerless, someone speaking words that indicate powerlessness or that indicate empowerment with through the power zone. You know how to detect the difference of responsibility two and four, mixing up human being with human doing. You know how to listen for when someone doesn't have permission. So all of those, there's so many distinctions. And then we also have cognitive distortions, which are distinctions. We have metaprograms. And so familiarizing yourself with that is one of the most critical things for the know-nothing state, because it allows you to listen for the difference and to recognize the difference. So that's why it's not something that just happens overnight, but the foundation for knowing nothing can definitely be there, even if you don't have all the differences yet or all the distinctions yet. And the foundation can be there, and you can start with just the well-formed outcome and having that visually in your mind and auditorily as well, of course. Also, with having said this in the third person, I don't only go to third person, I also go to first to second person, because once I am filling in information, I'm going to try it on. Sometimes my client doesn't know what frame they have. So then I step into all the information that I already have and all the strategy and structure that he's shared with me on how he does something. And it allows me to get information that way. In order to be able to do that, because then you get close to inferential listening, you have to have that know-nothing state and have listen very precisely. So these are the elements of the know-nothing state. If you, let's first go into building this state, and then we'll go into, okay, what are some of the adversaries of this state? But that comes later. Right now, what I'd like you to have is an experience of this know-nothing state. And I'm sure you've had moments of it before, so that's what we're going to start out with. Before we do this, are there any questions? Okay, and so you can just press 1 on your keypad if you have a question. Okay. So with no questions, what I would like you to do is to sit back, lean back in your chair, put everything down. You may even want to close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Relax your shoulders. And I'd like you to just become aware of your surroundings. Maybe listen to my voice. There might be other sounds around you. Feel how your breath feels. And just relax. If thoughts come up, you can just be aware of them. You don't have to do anything with them. And then I would like you to open your eyes. And I'd like you to stretch out your arms in front of you. And with both your index fingers stretched out, you can place them against each other. I would like you to focus your eyes on your index fingers. And then I would like you to slowly move your index fingers away from each other. And you're going to be moving them away from each other further and further. And I would like you to keep your eyes and keep on looking forward, but your eyes are going to continue to see them. You can see your index fingers in the corners of your eyes. And you can take them out further and further until you have completely stretched out your arms to the sides. And I would like you to keep your eyes that way. This is what we call peripheral vision. So if you've done that, you should now be able to see 180 degrees around you. I'd like you to just take a moment and notice what you see around you. But it's not in focus, but you can still see it and witness it. And I'd like you to take a snapshot of this state and what this feels like. And we're going to add to this a state of witnessing. But what I'd like you to do is to pretend that you're in a skyscraper. You're on the top of a skyscraper. And you can look down. And when you see the street way down below, you can make out tiny little people moving around, cars going around corners, and all you do is witness. You don't have an opinion about it, you just see it. There's movement, there's colors. Maybe smells. And all you do is register. And I'd like you to take that feeling with the peripheral vision and I'd like you to become aware of things moving around you. You might be looking out a window and the trees might be going back and forth because of the wind. You might hear a dog bark in the distance, or your kids might be in another room and you might hear them. And all you do is register. As you keep that peripheral vision, and then what I'd like you to do is to think of something . Imagine that you are in a country you've never been before. And I'd like you to see what that looks like. You might want to pick a country that you want to go to in the future. And just see what that looks like. And I'd like you to become aware of where you are creating that picture. Because that's what's important here, is where you are creating that picture. Is that on your left side or on your right side? So we're going to take that space and you can kind of clear out the picture of the country where you're going to go to. And instead, I would like you to see how you represent the well-formed outcome model. And if you haven't represented that yet, that's okay. You may use the picture that of the funnel. Or you might like to use the score model. So that's the one that I start out with, is I have a present state and I see that in my visual create area. And I also have a desired state, and that's my template. So you may have be representing that. And you may not have anything yet and just leave it blank for now. That's okay too. This is where you can store the templates. The template that you already have and can build on, or the template that is yet to be. So we have our peripheral vision, and we're just witnessing. We have the place where we can store all the information, all the new information that is coming our way. So we're going to build on that some more. And I'd like you to become aware of how you know something is not yours. And you may think of your shoes, for example. How do you know that you're not your shoe? How do you know that you're not the chair that you sit on? A shoe is not mine, or that's not me, rather. How do you know that that's separate from you? So I guess those are two different distinctions, not me and not mine, that I wasn't aware of. So we have not me, I'm not my shoe. So we'll build that first, I'm not my shoe. And how do you know that you're not your shoe? How do you know that you're not the chair that you sit on? The feeling of not me. I'm going to add that to the peripheral vision, the state of just witnessing. And that template that we see, that structure that we have, where we can store all the information that comes our way. And it's not me. And then what we're going to add to that is looking for difference. And I'm sure you've mismatched before, so you might just take something small, something simple, where you've mismatched. Maybe you've detected a mistake in a letter, or you've detected a pattern in something. A grammatical error. But just notice how you do that. How do you sort for difference? What do you see? How do you do that? What do you say to yourself? What do you do with the details? Do you see details at all, or perhaps not? The sorting for difference. And we're going to add that to this feeling of peripheral vision, state of witnessing and observing what's going on without just information, without doing anything with it. A place where we can hold the structure in mind. Sense of that is not mine and not me. It's separate from me. And I want to be sorting for difference in the information that comes in. So this is the know-nothing state. And I would like you to take that into the situation where you are coaching, into your coaching state. So you might have a coaching conversation tomorrow or the day after. Think of the situation where you're going to be coaching. You're going to be in this state. And just notice how that settles. How do you see your client? What will you be able to see in your client now that you have this peripheral vision? What will you be able to be aware of now that you're sorting for difference? And you're holding the structure in mind where you can store information. What difference is that going to make? Okay. So now we've kind of have an idea of what the know-nothing state feels like. So I'm curious to hear from you what you felt. Where did you have maybe some challenges to feel something or to get into the state? Were there any thoughts or objections that came up? So anyone who would like to share, or if you have a question, you can just press 1 on your keypad, and that lets me know that you're putting your hand up. Okay, Kristen?
Oh, hi.
Hi, Kristen.
My problem today is actually a technical art because I'm getting kicked off all the time and I have problems with it, share and everything. So I'll just listen as far as this go and hope that you will put the recording on the web and presentation as well.
Very soon. Oh, yes, absolutely. There's going to be a recording. I'm sorry you're having technical difficulties. I did send you an email with the link for the screen share.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got. Yes, but I get kicked out all the time. So I was just joining in the background and look forward to listening in when you put the recording and the presentation on the homepage.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? What did you feel? What questions arose for you? Insights that you may have gotten? Birgitta?
I got two insights, actually, because first it was this visual picture that I didn't think I could see, because I thought I was going to India, and suddenly I really saw at least a map of India in my left eye, and that's and then I realized, okay, these are the things that you remember according to the NLP knowledge that I have. You everything you remember has on your left side, and what you create is on your right side. So I really had the map of India on my left side. So I think that's
okay.
Where I can.
Okay, so that's where you visualize the map. Were you also able to visualize some of the models?
Pardon? And then the well-formulated outcome funnel in the place of India there.
Nice.
Because I know how that looks like. I have learned that.
Okay.
I had learned before, so I could put it there on my left side. So if I'm creating something, perhaps I have to put it on the right side, but I did not come so far.
Okay. Yeah, so...
With the things that my shoes are not me, I can feel them outside me.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are not, and that the things that are not mine, I can see them, but I can see them outside me, but I can't feel them. So that's my conclusion.
Okay, great. And so taking that into your coaching state, what is that like?
I try to see my client with this vision. But I don't know yet. I don't know what the result was. So we will see.
Okay, great. You'll have to let me know afterwards.
Yeah, because it will be 1 week before I see you again. But if I see someone else, I can try earlier.
Okay, great. Thank you, Birgitta. Okay, Chris.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I think the not mine is probably the best part of that exercise, even though the others I felt. Mm-hmm. The peripheral vision was good, and it helps you open up and remain, even though you're focused on your client, it opens you up to what the client may bring up, because they're going to bring up stuff that if you're not careful, will trigger things in you with your own judgment. And
yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good. And, of course, the state of witnessing does that same thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
The holding the structure, that was probably the biggest takeaway I got out of this was going through that exercise of discovering where do I create pictures of things where I'd like to be and that sort of thing. And so that was very helpful to get that. And I was able to put the well-formed outcome there, the axis of change, whereas in the past I kind of just was putting that wherever it would come up, and now I'm going to work on, you know, that one special place, because that's, I think your point about it is that is a special place, and being a special place, it's a place where I think you'll have more, I guess, more organization, if you will. But the not mine, I think, is the best part, because what it leads you to in the coaching is, and particularly, like I just recently was coaching my granddaughter. And, of course, you know, she was struggling with a couple of things. And in that case, I knew it was going to be hard not to want to give some grandfatherly advice.
Right,
so
yes.
So I set the frame with her ahead of time that what I do, I'm going to put on this certain hat, that I'm not going to be grandfather. I'm going to do what I do in the coaching realm, which is just to ask a lot of questions. And so I prepared myself for not getting triggered, and this was not mine, because in a way, you know, she's my grandchild, so it is mine, but only as I'm functioning as a grandfather. But when I'm functioning as a coach, it's not mine. And being not mine, and gets the judgment out. And I think that's the beauty of all this is because if you can hold a space for somebody and not judge them, then you know, that's a special place for somebody to be able to be. And I appreciate that when somebody does that for me. So
absolutely.
And then the sorting the difference was is just that's where you start looking for, you know, what are they actually doing? What is the structure of what they are doing? And and that's what inspires the questions to ask them, so that they can do the thinking, and they can come up with the answer, because they, like you said earlier, they have the answer. So those are my comments.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. And yeah, I think actually you worded it very nicely first you obviously have to be in a place where you can witness things, but then all this information, you need to organize it in a way. And I do have a special place for that, where I organize it in a structure so that I don't get lost. And so having that place where I create, where I put new information in a structure that I obviously already know. So the structure is something that I remember. But then I can sort for difference in that. And because it's not mine, I don't have to be affected by it. So thank you for sharing the way that you received the information, Chris. So let's continue on with the rest of the presentation. So because like Chris said, it's so easy to, if you do have that sense of mine, or that's me, or you don't know the structure, or you're not sorting for difference, there's a lot of ways where you can be pulled out of that state. And so I've listed a few of them. I'm sure that list could continue. But for me, the reason why I'm putting all of this up here is that, like I said, I would like you to walk away with, okay, this is what I'm aiming for. This is the state that I'm aiming for. These are the elements, so I know how to build it. And I would like you to be aware of, okay, what are some of the things that can get in my way? So the first thing that can get in your way is if you're a rescuer. So I tend to be a rescuer, or not in my coaching, but it's definitely something that I've really had to learn, not to be a rescuer. But this is like, okay, you're with a client, they have a problem, and you feel responsible for saving them. And once you have that, it's not about your client anymore. It becomes about you. And then you want to start controlling them or manipulating them, asking leading questions, just telling them what to do so that everything will be fixed. So rescuing and feeling responsible. You might be judging. if a topic that comes up and you have very strong opinions about it, that will get you straight out of the know-nothing state. But also, if you have a sense of, oh, I know what you mean. So I had this client once, and she was talking about love. And I was thinking, yeah, I know what you mean. Love, you know, doesn't everyone know what you mean with love? And so I never asked a clarity question about, okay, what specifically do you mean with love? Well, once I finally did, that broke open the entire conversation, because before that we kept going round and round in circles, because I'm missing some really critical information. So if you have that sense of, I know what you mean, then you know you're going to miss some information. Or, I know what you need. That's also one. You hear a little bit of information and you know the answer. Sometimes when you are coaching someone and they may, from what you're hearing, you might think, oh, this is going to be a change conversation. But that's actually not what they need. What they need is clarity of what their frames are right now. And once they know, have that clarity, then they can do the rest. So thinking you know what your client needs is what's going to get you out of the know-nothing state, and you're going to steer it into a specific direction. If you're very perfectionistic and have all these self-awareness, what is this person going to think of me? I'm not asking the right questions, things like that. That's a definite adversary for the know-nothing state. When you feel like you want to manipulate or control by asking questions, so you're asking a lot of leading questions and you're trying to steer the conversation a specific way, advice giving, and then also the last one is deleting information. So this has to do with your metaprogram preferences. If you have a preference for being global, then you're going to miss details. If you have a preference for towards, then you're going to miss, and your client is towards as well, then you're going to miss the other side. So part of this know-nothing state and being able to have and hold the know-nothing state is to have no preferences. To not have any preference for either side of a metaprogram. So stretching your metaprograms is going to give you more and more access to this know-nothing state so that you can sort for more differences. The same goes with beliefs. If you have a belief that is the same as your client's, that will be limiting to your client, because you won't hear the belief, because it kind of goes straight through you and you're going, yeah, that makes sense. So that's why we start with all of the apply to self, is so that you can stretch your metaprograms and you know your metaprograms, you can transcend them, you can transcend your beliefs. Even if you know them, you know, being aware of all of those, being able to step third position really helps with stepping out of sight of those filters. Michael said one thing in his article that he wrote about this, is asking yourself the question, what's missing? So in order to search for difference, you can just ask yourself that question, what's missing? Okay, so I'm sure that you will recognize a few of these. And so like in any coaching, we need to ground this state. The know-nothing state needs to be grounded. You may have easy access to it, but the moment someone says something, or the moment you get lost and you don't know the next question, and this whole self-awareness flares up, or a judging flares up, that's where you really then need this state. And so that's something to work on is, okay, what are some of the triggers that would pull me out of this state? So creating this as a habit is also figuring out, okay, where do I need to ground it? What is the context where I'm most challenged? And how can I transform that? So we have, time flies, so we have about 25 minutes left. So we won't be able to do the entire coaching session two ways. So what we're going to be doing is I'm going to put you into groups of two. We're going to take 10 minutes each. And what I'd like you to do is just talk about the trigger and exploring how that trigger works. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to do step one and two. If you get further, further along, that's great as well. So for those of you who aren't on screen share, I've got five steps. So basically this is to ground the state of know nothing. So finding the trigger where you are particularly eager to start rescuing, advice giving, or become self-conscious, things like that. Then so that's your present state. What is your present state right now? And what are some of the meanings that you have about it? Then we're going to quality control it and explore new meanings that will get you, that will help you maintain or get into the know-nothing state. So those are the four steps. We're going to have 10 minutes each. So see how far you get in those 10 minutes. What would be really good is if you can find that trigger and the current meanings so that your client can take that away and quality control it, step out of it, and start exploring new meanings. So that's what we're going to be doing. What I'm going to do, for those of you who've not been on the call, I'm going to put you into what they call breakout rooms. Then I'm going to open your mic, and you will only be able to hear each other. So we've got people from all over the world, so you're going to meet a new person. I'm going to create the breakout groups right now. There's going to be one group of three because we're uneven. Okay, so Anne, I can see that you have a question.
Yes, sorry, I'm not so good in English. I can't coach in English. Sorry.
Okay, so
don't put me in a group.
What language do you speak?
Norwegian.
Okay, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in with another Norwegian. Hold on 1 second. Okay, Anne, I have just switched groups for you. So Alex and Jason, you're in a group. Jean and Birgitta, you're in a group. Cecilia and Rosalie and Chris, you're in one group. And Anne and Kristen, you're also in a group. I will give you 12 minutes the first round so that you know, so that you can say hi and get to know each other. And then you have 10 minutes to go over the process. And then I'll let you know 2 minutes beforehand to shift. So time starts now. Okay, time is up, everyone. What I'm going to do is I'm going to dissolve the breakout groups, which means that you won't be able to hear each other anymore. I'm going to do that right now. And you've kind of explored a little bit about what triggers you, what the current state is, what gets you out of your know-nothing state. Today we've also explored, okay, what are the elements of the know-nothing state and what does it feel like to put all of those meta states together in one moment? Obviously, we only have had an hour and a half creating the know nothing state and honing it, being able to step into it at will with whatever trigger is something that you need to spend time on and refine. So you now know the elements, so you know what you can focus on. Uncover like what kind of triggers get you out of it. And also two things that I think are really important is how do you organize the information that you get so that you can sort for difference, and also filling the information with distinctions. So distinctions like the self-esteem, how self-esteem works, how empowerment works, how intentionality works. Those are all kinds of distinctions, meta-programs as well. So based on the discussion that you've just had with your partner, do you have any questions or comments, insights that you would like to share? And you can just press 1 on your keypad. Chris?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I think the one thing that seems to make the difference is setting the frame up front.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to get triggered by people's content.
Yes.
And, you know, what I try to do in setting a frame up front is let a person know that I care about them. And that I want to stay as clear as I possibly can, so I can ask the questions that will help them process and help them decide what it is that they want,
mm-hmm.
what they want to accomplish. And so I was talking with the person I was talking with, and that seemed to be real helpful to them. That the trigger's always not always, but a lot of times is centered around, you know, us wanting to be helpful or wanting to have somebody come to the end of their session and feel like they've accomplished something. And that's important, but all that can get in the way of you just trying to be clear for them.
Exactly.
And sometimes you're if you're asking enough questions, you're going to help in the clarity. They may not be as clear as you'd like for them to be, but they may be a whole lot clearer and satisfied with their clarification of where they are than you would be with where they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think allowing that to happen and let that happen for them. I mean, the bottom line is if you just can't bring them to a place, well, it just didn't happen. And so, you know, you
mm-hmm.
either lose that client or they move on or you move on. But the point is, if you ask enough questions and you stay in a clear state in asking those questions, there will be a certain amount of clarity that a person will get.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can, if you're not, because one of the people we were talking to was what feels like they're not satisfied with where they're getting with their client. And that starts to get to them, and they start thinking about the next appointment. And do we get enough done here? And,
mm-hmm.
and, oh, I've got the next appointment coming right up. So my thought is that person will just back up, and if she's still listening, if they'll just back up and just stay clear and ask questions and not be overly concerned about the outcome that they're getting, because they're going to get something if you'll stay clear for them. And one of the things that she thought, I asked her what state could she be in that would make a difference for her, and she said where time's not important and it's not an issue.
Mm.
So if she can get
that's
in.
That's a very interesting.
Yeah. So yes. If she can get in that state and be in that state, then, you know, she obviously you have to cut it off at a certain time for the next appointment. But up until that time, if she can stay in that state so that she can be clear in her own self so that she can keep asking questions to let the other person process, that person may not get to the point that she wants them to, but that's not really it. That person is just trying to get
mm-hmm.
to the point that they want to get to. And I can't
exactly.
help but feel that if you're clear enough and you ask enough questions, that that person will gain a certain degree of clarity, which they didn't have to start with. So I could go on, but I'll just stop there.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, for sharing that. I think that's a great distinction as well, the relationship that you have with time. So that would be something to explore. It's like, what's your relationship with time, and how does time trigger you when you really want to be in the know-nothing state? So I see, Cecilia, you put your hand up.
Yes.
Hi,
yes,
Cecilia.
Hi, Femke. How are you? Happy
I'm
to
good.
Hear you.
Thank you.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. Yes, the idea that you explained is precisely what's been happening to me. And I want to add a frame that I want to have, and I will work on it, and that will put me in the correct state, is just live the present. Be in the present. Be in
mm-hmm.
a 100% present at this moment. This is the moment that's the most valuable moment now. So
exactly.
If I set that frame, I think I can come into the right state in just being present, because my presence is needed at this moment. And as I am present, I will get all the information I need to do the right question.
Wow. That sounds like a very, very empowering frame, Cecilia.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. You know, some of you might want to swipe that with pride, as we say. And so, and it's really good to hear that, you know, this is about adding resources, adding frames, so that you really lock in that know-nothing state and really ground it, so that it doesn't matter what happens if you are short in time, or if your client is not getting it, if you really want to help, that you can always stay in that know-nothing state. So it's time to wrap up for today. I really enjoyed having you all on the call, taking you through the process. I'm going to be putting this online, so you'll be getting an email from me with the link in the next few days, so that you can listen back to it. The presentation is also going to be online, so that you can look back to that as well. For those of you who are interested and you would like to want to be a kick-ass confident coach, that's what I help you with. If you don't know, Subscribe to Change has a subscription service where you can come to practice groups very similar to this. Mostly it's just going over coaching sessions and getting some feedback. So you can be part of that. And I also run mentoring programs for a limited amount of people. If you are interested in either of those, or you are just interested in what would be my next step in becoming a better coach and becoming a kick-ass confident coach, you can go to subscribetochange.com/make-an-appointment-2 to make an appointment with me, and we'll spend half an hour going over what would be your next step. So you can go there, or you can just email me. I hope that this training call was beneficial to you, that you got lots of it out of it, and to see or hear you sometime during a training somewhere in the world, or online on Subscribe to Change. And I wish you a wonderful day and a really wonderful evening. And if you have any questions, just let me know on my email. All right. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Subscribe to Change audio recording. With love and kindness, Femke Stoot.